Let's say you're arguing with someone else. Are you calmer in English, or does your authentic self come out in your first language? Today on the show, we're chatting with Dr. Britta Biedermann, a linguist who studies how speaking more than one language can totally change how we feel and think, even make decisions. And since it's NAIDOC week, she's also doing some fantastic work helping First Nations communities by making sure their languages, like Noongar, are heard and respected. Let's find out how bilingual brains work. Britta, how are you today?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm very good. First, if you could tell us a bit about your background and current research in bilingualism and cognitive processing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so my language background, you might hear it, is actually German. So I'm a bilingual myself. I working at Curtin University in the discipline of speech pathology, but as you've mentioned, I'm very interested in when language breaks down and you speak actually more than one language. So, for example, when it breaks down tragically after stroke, you have more than one language, your language can also be differently preserved, for example, you know.
Oh, wow. Depending
on how often maybe you speak one language, or like, you know, currently we speak one language in everyday life, so it's likely that that language is also a bit better preserved than the other one you don't speak that often.
And how does language, like, what role does language play in emotional identity? Like, does switching languages also shift how we feel, and do we have kind of different versions of ourselves when we're speaking different languages?
Yeah, you can, I think you're still the same person, so but you can shift spotlights. So because you have maybe different repertoires of words you can use in one language, you have a tapestry of words. For example, in German, there's certain words you don't have in English. So I can express myself more detailed, maybe more nuanced in one language. And so when it comes to identity and emotion, it depends then what repertoire you have in that language. So you can tap into that better. So.
Very cool. Yeah. And given Australia's rich Indigenous and multicultural history, your work on the Noongar language resources, how do you view the dominance of English today, especially in Australia?
Well, it is a little bit of a well, it's great that we can all communicate in one language and across languages or across cultures, but we're also losing a lot by having English as a dominant language, because, you know, we can't really see what each language offers. So it's like, always I think about it, it's like a magic eye. You know, the pictures of magic eye, they all of a sudden 3D comes out and you can understand better, you know, like how you, what each language has to offer. So, for example, I'm just speaking here on my colleague's behalf, my Noongar colleague, Brenda Larson, I have the privilege to work with in Boorloo, Perth, and she's very strong, wanting to give the next future generation strength in her culture, becoming their full, strong identity. And so, because I work in speech pathology, there's not a lot of materials available to kids who have maybe a Noongar language background or speak up mainly Noongar, and what is when they're struggling with language development. So we as non-Indigenous speech pathologists are often not able to identify, is it now a language deficit or is it actually a language difference, because we are ignorant and don't know much about the Noongar language. So Brenda is helping me with her Noongar language to put together with my colleagues from Allied Health, my non-Indigenous colleagues, to put together materials that can help speech pathologists to identify the difference.
Wow, that's amazing. Mm. And this week is NAIDOC week, and it's a celebration of First Nations culture. How can these language preservation efforts that you yourself are working on and others around Australia, how can they be part of that recognition for beyond even NAIDOC week?
I think if everyone is even trying to learn a little bit of a piece of Indigenous language, you understand also much better the connection to country. For example, what are Indigenous peoples of Australia trying to teach us for many, many centuries? Oh, I mean, you know, they know that, but it is in the language even. And so, of course, we need to be careful when we're learning these languages, because of these languages have, many of them have been gone distinct. And so if we are learning a language, an Indigenous language, someone else was you know, an indigenous person was not able to learn when they were in their childhood because of the stolen generation, then it's a very sensitive issue. So you always have to check in if it is okay to actually use the language or learn the language. But it is strength. Brenda would say it strengthens. My grandchildren will have a better future if we all preserve my language, because language is a window into culture, understanding identity better.
Yeah, and I mean, that's amazing. And I wanted to ask this because you yourself are German, and the European Union is very known for teaching bilingualism and teaching other languages very extensively in schooling for young children. So you learn multiple languages as you're growing up. And maybe coming from a non-English speaking country originally, that learning English is part of the curriculum. Do you think Australia has the same kind of infrastructure around teaching young kids to be as proficient in another language as they are in, say, English?
Yeah, I do think that our multilingualism in Australia is one of the most underused resources in Australia. And also, there's not enough value placed on teaching languages in school. I mean, also the value of being a teacher in Australia, I know in Germany you're getting as a teacher being paid as a lawyer, like same level as a lawyer, because it's very valued to learn other languages, to be teaching other languages, and I do think we could use it so much more. It's such a valuable resource to have in our culture. We have 23% of people who speak another language than English at home. Here in Australia, I think after English is Mandarin, then Arabic, then Cantonese, Vietnamese, and Punjabi are the top five languages in this country. And you know how much, there's so much richness in it. And of course, all the indigenous languages. There were over 500 indigenous languages in this country spoken.
Well, thank you. And then finally, is there a personal or research moment that reminded you of just how powerful language can be?
I think I mentioned it before. It is this moment where you learn another language and then you say, wow, you can say it in that way. It's what I said, the magic eye card. You all of a sudden 3D stands out. There is a different way to express yourself. And you say, wow, this is a word I would have needed for a long time, but my first language didn't have it.
Yes. Well, there's we were talking before the show about dreaming in other languages as well. And it's when you know that you've become fluent.
Yeah.
But yes, thank you so much, Britta, for coming in and talking with us this morning.
You're very welcome. Thanks for having me.
That was Britta Biedermann reminding us that language isn't just how we speak, but it's how we feel and how we remember and how we care. This NAIDOC week, as we honour First Nations knowledge, it's worth asking, what voices do we uplift and what voices are still being left out? You're listening to 2SER